Guten Morgen. Good morning. Goeiemôre. Hello. Hello. Give me a wave. Say hello. Say to someone next to you, it's a good morning. You know, when we say good morning, it means like a good morning. Eh? Sometimes we say it and we don't really know what we're saying. We like so down and then it's like good morning, you know, like... It means it's a joyful morning. It's a new day. Amen. Okay, we'll get there. We'll get there. God is good. Amen. And God is here. Amen. God is in you. He's with you. This morning, I'm going to talk about the third part of our Kingdom Fitness series. Who feels they're slowly getting fitter for the Kingdom? After the last few sermons on money and then sex. And now we're going to talk about the third one. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. So we're talking here this morning about the three killers. We've done the one, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes in the last 2 weeks. And then today we're going to talk about the third of the three killers, the pride of life. So this morning I've entitled my sermon, Letting Go of Pride. So again, it's exciting to preach about this stuff because I know there's not one person that's being missed this morning. Amen. It's the same with the money thing. We're all affected by money. We're all affected by sexual temptations and stuff. And we're all affected by this one as well, called pride, with a capital I right in the middle. It's going to be exciting here this morning. You see, there's a certain fine line between pride and humility, even though they are worlds apart, okay? It's like pride is on the one hand and humility is on the other side of the hall, but yet it's like there's this fine line between them. It's weird thinking about it. I'll illustrate this morning. Just think about the songs that we sing in worship. Now, I heard a song this week. I was at a meeting and the guys just put up a video clip of the song, so it wasn't a band singing it or anything, but it was the song by Michael W. Smith called Above All. Anyone know that song? And it was weird. I was preparing for this message, and so I think I was listening with very specific ears to this song. And so the song goes like, you know, you thought of, it says, like a rose trampled on the ground, you thought of me above all. But what stood out to me is that thing of me, you thought of me above all. And it was like, I haven't heard this. I like this song and I like the music of Michael W. Smith, but I just something in my spirit just reminded me of how close humility and pride are. Because we're talking about God, yeah, and we're singing about God, but so we say, above all, you thought about me. It's all about me. Above all else, it's about me. And maybe that wasn't the intention of the song, but it's so close. I'm just getting you to think here this morning. Because sometimes we sing songs in worship and it's more about me than about God. Isn't that so? Let's be honest here this morning. Why? Because worship songs are written by people. Sinful people, fallen people that love God and that have good intentions. But, or another example of when we share testimonies. You know, we often share testimony and the testimony is more about me than about God. It's about God. God is definitely there and Jesus is there and Jesus is the Savior and Jesus did some stuff. But sometimes it's more about me than about God. Why? Because of this fine line between pride and humility. See, pride is your greatest enemy and humility is your greatest friend, said a guy called John R. Stott, one of the men who made a lot of difference in spiritual lives and Christianity in the last while. He said, pride is your greatest enemy and humility is your greatest friend. But many times there's a bit of a tension between the two. Humility is shouting from Christ's side and pride is shouting from your side. And so this morning I want to say that we can never rest on our laurels and think that pride is too far from us and think that we've arrived. That's the beauty of the relationship we have with Jesus. We are human and pride is never too far from us. In fact, pride is knocking at our doors. In fact, someone said once, I read an article this week, but it says that, you know, your greatest success is like the closest to your greatest fall and to pride knocking at your door. Your greatest success and greatest achievements and greatest breakthroughs are the closest place you often are to a place of pride. And so this morning I just want to look at a few scriptures and I want to challenge us on this because I've been challenged on it. I haven't arrived. Same with the last few sermons I've preached. It's not like I'm sorted in this area. I'm just realizing that in order to be fit for the kingdom of God, this is the one thing that we need to be aware of, put it that way. And just say to God, God, help us in this. To fear the Lord is to hate evil. Proverbs 8 verse 13 says, I hate pride and arrogance, evil behavior and perverse speech. The Lord detests all the proud of heart. Be sure of this, they will not go unpunished. And I could have put millions of scriptures, not quite millions, but a lot of scriptures on about God hating pride and the fact that throughout the Bible, God says pride is something that I resist. In fact, twice in the New Testament, James and Peter write that God resists the proud. It means that God goes to war against the proud. God hates pride. Amen. God hates pride. God hates proud people and the proud of heart. But the good news is this morning that God gives grace to the humble. Amen. God does give grace to us. It's not like He hates us. He just hates the sin in us. And the sin of pride is the greatest of all sins and the cause of many other sins. Why does God hate pride? Pride is giving ourselves the credit for something that God has accomplished. That's why God hates pride. Number one. Secondly, pride is taking the glory that belongs to God alone and keeping it for ourselves. Pride is essentially self-worship. And then anything that we accomplish in this world would not have been possible were it not for God enabling and sustaining us. Even the unbelievers out there. God gives everyone grace. He rains on the righteous and on the unrighteous. He blesses the farmers who believe in Him and who don't believe in Him. Every good and perfect gift comes from God. So think about your own life. Think about the gifts and the talents in your own life and the abilities that you have. Whether you know God or not, the truth this morning is that it comes from God. Amen. In fact, the breath in your very lungs comes from God. So, I read an article about a guy called Jonathan Edwards. He wrote this someone wrote an article, but in this article, the guy refers to Jonathan Edwards in an essay called Undetected Pride, and he points out 7 sneaky symptoms of the infection of pride, and I'll go through them just quickly before we look at a story from the Old Testament. First of all, he says, if you fault find all the time, there's a subtlety of pride in your life. In other words, you magnify the faults of others. You don't always see it in yourself. You know, often we come to church and we like, if only that person was here this morning to hear the sermon. I mean, I've done that before. I don't know about you, but you hear a sermon and you're like, if only this person was in the sermon. And it's not wrong to do that. It's just as long as you are saying, but you know, I'm glad I'm in the sermon because I need this, first of all, before I look at other people. But we often find fault with others and we magnify their faults instead of seeing the good points. Then we can see that pride is in our lives. And I've been convicted of this myself, all of these things. Secondly, we're irritated with the sins of others. We have a harsh judging spirit. Instead of realizing that we all need forgiveness, we tend to look upon others and judge them. And you know what? It's often true in our lives is that we see the faults in others and we judge others because of the stuff in our own lives. It's just like that. We often see a fault in someone else and we're so irritated with it. But you know what? It's actually the irritation in our own heart with our own stuff. But we just portray it towards other people. Then thirdly, superficiality. We make sure we look good on the outside. You know, all the spiritual stuff looks good on the outside. But inside, the secret place, what happens there? What happens in the secret place when no one is looking? So we do all the right stuff on the outside, but inside, There's not such good stuff happening. Then we can know pride is knocking at our door. Then number four, we're always trying to defend or prove ourselves when we're challenged or rebuked or disagreed with. We're always on the defensive. Fifth, and this is a biggie, presumption before God. We forget that we need to approach God with two things, humble assurance. Both of them. We can't just approach God in this false humility, like, oh God, I'm nothing, you know, like I'm a worm, I'm, you know. But we can't either approach God with, God, you know what, I'm so bold, it's all about me again. Here I am, God, come serve me, you know. And then we're all assured in ourselves and not assured, we're not humbly assured. Humble assurance, we need both of them. So either we can have false humility or we can have a overconfidence, which is more about us than about God. And one cannot be missing. You need humility and you need the assurance. So you need to be bold before God, but you remember God is God. And then number six, we seek attention and approval from people instead of from God. We're always wanting to be needed. Isn't that so? We want to feel that without us, the world is not going to happen. And then number seven, we favor certain people and we neglect others. We favor the rich and the famous. We favor the people that can mean something to us or help with a mission that we are on, or else, no, don't worry, I don't need anyone else. I only need the famous and the rich, and I'm neglecting certain people. Seven subtle symptoms of pride in our lives. And I think we can all identify with one or two or three of these, if not all of them. So I want to look this morning at 2 Chronicles 26. So you can turn with me. I've got the scriptures up there, most of them. But it's a story of a king of Judah, King Uzziah. Say Uzziah. Okay? Or Uzziah. I don't know. Some people say Uzziah, Uzziah. It's this king. And it says here that he did what was right in the sight of the Lord. He was born, or not born, he was put in his kingship at 16 years old. Amazing. He was so young. Imagine one of our 16-year-old children. Like Valet 17, isn't she, or 16? Imagine someone that age being king over a nation. That's incredible, because his father also started off well and didn't do well in the end. And so he had to be king early on because his father got killed. And it says he did what was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that his father Amaziah had done. He started off well, this king, okay? Started off very well, and he sought God in the days of Zechariah the prophet, who had understanding in the visions of God. So he placed a prophet around him as a king. He put someone around him to make sure that he was on the right path. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosper. Say, as long as he sought the Lord. And so the rest of the story goes that he prospered, and he had military power. He had incredible skill to build the walls of Jerusalem, to put things in place, to combat any enemy. He was like, this king made Jerusalem and the people of Judah prosper. And God made him prosper. And it says, so his fame spread far and wide, for he was marvelously helped until he became so strong. You can read the story. It's amazing. This guy was really like on the way to success, and he had success, and his life was happening, and his leadership was happening, and everything around him was prospering. The people were prospering. And isn't that so, that in between verse 15 and verse 16, again, is that fine line between pride and humility. It's like he sought the Lord. He sought the Lord. He was successful. God blessed him. God blessed him. And then it says, but, in verse 16, say, but. And if this can happen to this guy, if this but can come in here, you know what? A but can come in our lives as well. We must be honest with this. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up. It says when he was strong. So in that place when you are strong, that is when you need to be the most aware. Amen. So this morning, if you're feeling strong, even in the Lord this morning, if you're feeling strong, if your life is happening, you feel like you're successful and God is pleased with you, then I want to say this morning, be aware. Amen. Because there's this but. But when he was strong, and remember, he was seeking God. This is now a guy who loved the Lord. He started off very well. But when his heart was, when he was strong, his heart was lifted up. Say, his heart was lifted up. To his destruction, for he transgressed against the Lord his God. By what did he start to do? He entered into the temple to burn incense on the altar of incense. He started to presume that he was able to do anything, and he started to walk in this presumption, which so starts because we are proud. And he entered the temple of the Lord to burn incense, and Azariah the priest went in after him, and with him were 80 priests of the Lord, valiant men, and they withstood King Uzziah and said to him, "It is not for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord, but for the priests, the sons of Aaron, who are consecrated to burn incense. Get out of the sanctuary, for you have transgressed, you have trespassed, and you shall have no honor from the Lord God." Then Uzziah became furious, and he had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was angry with the priests, suddenly leprosy broke out on his forehead, before the priests in the house of the Lord, beside the incense altar. And Azariah, the chief priest, and all the priests looked at him, and there on his forehead he was leprous. So they thrust him out of that place. Indeed, he also hurried to get out because the Lord had struck him. King Uzziah was a leper until the day of his death. He dwelt in an isolated house because he was a leper, for he was cut off from the house of the Lord. Then Jotham, his son, was over the king's house, judging the people of the land. A tragic story, isn't that so? Of someone who started off well, someone who sought the Lord, someone who surrounded himself with someone to speak into his life. But unfortunately, the story didn't end so well. Why? Because of this thing called pride and presumption, where he realized or thought that he was able to do anything and everything because he became strong. You see, the sin of pride manifests itself in selfish motives. Your motives start to change. It's not about the people anymore. It's not about others anymore. It's about you, because you start to be successful. And then it results in an exaggerated ego, a low opinion of others, and ultimately disrespect for God and the things of God. And he walked fully in presumption. And what happens? It can lead to other sins. For example, we start to rob the glory, or for us to rob God for the glory that he is due. And what does it do, this thing of pride? It distorts your perception of reality. A tragic story that we can all take a note of and all realize, you know what? This guy was spiritual. He was more spiritual than many of us, I guess. All of us. But yet something happened. He was successful, and God used him, and God blessed him with possessions, with success, with power, with all the things that God wanted to bless him with. And what does God say in Deuteronomy? He says, "I'm going to bless you with riches, but do not forget the Lord your God, from who gives you the power to get wealth, the power to be successful, the power to do everything I've called you to do." And so I want to get a little bit practical here this morning. I've written down four areas of pride that are possible in our lives that we can look at this morning. Four areas where we just need to say, "God, are we okay in this area, or are we missing it? Is there really a root and a massive part of pride in my life?" First of all, I call it spiritual pride, and this is the worst of all prides. I just put it at the top because this is what King Uzziah had ultimately. It's when we think we are worth more to God than other believers, isn't that so? And it could be a pastor, or a ministry leader, or it could be a business leader, it could be anyone, but we think that we are more special than other people. So we have gifts, we have calling, we have authority, God has truly blessed us, but we start to think, "Yes, this is amazing. I'm so special. I'm this like super anointed one." And it's not only anointing for ministry, it's anointing for anything. You think that you're anointed in a certain area, and you know what? You're more special than other people. But guess what? There's no partiality with God. God does not separate anyone. He loves all people. And the other night, Matthew prayed, and it was amazing. I just realized the sinful nature of people. He just represented. He said, "God, thank you that you love me more than other people." He prayed that, like, or some line like that, like. And then I had to really seriously correct him straight away, you know. And it's amazing that he realizes God loves him. Like, I think he doesn't have a problem with knowing that God loves him, and that we love him as his parents. But you know, with people, all of us are like that. We think we're more special than other people. Isn't that so? It's just a result of the devil that's in us when we're born. The thing of, you know what, I'm so special. And then we start to compare ourselves with others. And spiritually we say, and I'm talking now about our relationship with God, not people who don't know God, people that know God. We are so special, so anointed, so amazing. Spiritual pride, especially gifted people, people that God has called, the Pauls of this world, the people that have a great calling on their lives. Spiritual pride is one to watch out for. Then secondly, we have got called cultural pride, We're the Afrikaners amongst us. We're the English people. We're the Brits. I don't know. You know, the settlers, 1820 settlers of the voortrekkers. We've got all this cultural pride. Your identity lies in your culture, your language, the family you come from, or the school you attended. You know, hello, Bloemfontein. Couple of schools in this place. Okay. Not going to mention any names. But you know, the boys' schools in this country are the worst, you know. I'm not going to mention any names because I come from one as well, okay. But the boys' schools, it's like, yes, you identify yourself with the school and that is your life. You die for the school and you say you love Jesus and you want to, supposed to die for Jesus. But no, we're going to protect our cultural pride. We're going to protect the reputation, the stuff that we identify with ourselves with. And it's all about our reputation. You're trying to uphold. And you know what? You start to protect what others think of you instead of what God thinks of you. And sometimes there's subtle deception coming in. Nobody will protect that because, whoa, you know, we're either English or we're Afrikaans. We have a certain background. And we hold on to cultural pride or even our family name. You know, I'm a Kingwell. Yeah, I'm doing the will of the king. You know, like, hey, amazing. I come from the 1820 settlers that came here and conquered this nation. And like, yeah, you know. But we're supposed to preach the gospel. We have a lot of pride in our background and in our upbringing and in our reputation. And then thirdly, we find pride in our material stuff. How many cars we drive, how many houses we own, properties we own, how much money we have in the bank. And even the brand of clothing or the expensive jewelry that we wear. We pride ourselves in that, especially, and it's all about our appearance, because it's often not about what's in the bank or what people don't see, but it's about what people do see. What kind of a brand of car do I drive, or which suburb do I live in, or what do I wear, what do I look like? Because it becomes more about what I look like to people than what is on the inside and what I look like to God. Material pride, our appearance. And then lastly, the pride of success, our qualifications, how many degrees you have, your title. You know, I'm a pastor, I'm an apostle, I'm a bishop, you know, all these titles in the ministry that fly around. You know, and I appreciate people calling me pastor, and I think it's good for respect. Many times the black churches just get the respect and honor thing right, and sometimes our Western churches don't have it. But you know what, I sometimes don't always like being called pastor because I don't want the title. I'm really here to serve. And if I'm, whatever I'm called, I'm. And I think it's not right or wrong. But sometimes we go off the titles and people self-appoint themselves as bishops and apostles and all these titles. And doctors and profs, and the university is full of it, the titles. Why? Because it's how successful you are. The career that you're focused on or that you're doing well in. Many times it's about winning and about competition. It's about being better than someone else. Isn't that so? Making sure that you're better or higher up than other people. I'm not saying all of the success is. That's why I'm not saying success is bad. I'm just saying there's a pride that comes in when we focus on these things. So I want to ask you this morning, look at this list and think, God, where is the area that I'm most vulnerable in? And obviously we can have all four of them, but there's an area where some of us are vulnerable in, and God wants to just touch that button this morning and say, you know what? I love you too much. I don't want your pride to get in the way of your relationship with me. And God wants to bless us this morning. Amen. God really wants to bless us. He wants to change us to become more like Him. And so this morning you might say to me, Alistair, but what is the solution to all of this? There's only one solution. And His name is Jesus Christ. And so let's read this passage in Philippians 2 from verse 1 to 11. I want to read this passage because this is how Jesus counted the four areas of pride. Let's see what Paul wrote in here. And he said, therefore, if there's any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. So he just starts off and he says, this is what I want you as believers to be like. This is what I want the church to be like. Because Philippians was a church that was blessed. And Paul just said, you know what? I want you to just focus on having the full joy that's in me. Or that's in Christ, sorry. And then Paul says, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. So this is exactly what the word came earlier about serving others, having the love of Christ in us to serve others. Why? Because we are naturally selfish. Amen. And pride manifests itself in selfishness. Why? Because pride is simply a focus on self. That's what all the pride is about, whether it's spiritual pride, material pride, cultural, or whatever. It's all about self and self-exaltation. And so Paul says, yeah, he says it's so important to not do things through selfish ambition, through competition or all of that. But he says in lowliness of mind, let each one esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for yourselves, but let's serve others and serve the body. And now you think, if you stop there, you think this is just difficult. It is difficult. If you think this is easy, I'm doing this, then you're at a dangerous place. Amen. If you think you're serving and you think you're laying your life down, then it's probably also not a good place to be. It's probably a place where you say, okay, Lord, maybe I'm going to do this in my own strength unless I do what Paul writes. So yeah, he gives the answer. He says, this is what I want for your church. And I believe this is what God wants for our church. He wants us not to be selfish, conceited, vain, focusing ourselves, but rather serving other people. And how does he says, let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. There's only one solution, is the renewing of your mind. Thinking like Christ, acting like Christ, living like Christ. So how did Christ live? He says, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. Number one, the cultural pride. How did Jesus tell us not to have, spiritual pride? You know what? He gave up his glory. He gave up his heavenly place. And he said, I don't consider the fact that I'm the Son of God, that I am actually God. I don't consider that something to boast of or even to walk in. I decide not to walk in my glory, in my full glory. I leave heaven and I come to earth. He gave up his heavenly privileges and he had to be subject on this earth to people and to the things of this world. He had to be subject to it. He gave up being equal with God. It said it wasn't something to be counted lightly. It wasn't something to be boasted about. Then secondly, it says, but he made himself of no reputation. Remember what we talked about? The whole thing of cultural pride is all about reputation, all about who I am, where I come from, who I identify with. You know what Jesus did? He made himself of no reputation. And that is difficult for us, isn't it so? It's very difficult for us to make ourselves, because we do have a family that we come from. We are born into a culture. We are born into we go to a certain school. We have this certain status about us. But yet Jesus said, you know what? He made himself of no. He didn't want any titles. He didn't want a status. He came to do one thing, and that is to serve. He made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant. In other words, his servanthood was sorted. That is who he was. He was a bond servant, a bond slave to his father. And where was it tested the most? On the cross, or just before the cross. Not on the cross. He had to count the cost. Can you not let this cup pass from me? Can't we just do something? Can I just take up my glory again and just like kill everyone here? But he didn't. He had to go through with the fact that he was a bond servant. He came to do the will of God. So he gave up his reputation and he became a servant. And I want to say this morning that we all have to give up our reputations. I mean, even as a pastor, as a leader, all of us are leaders. I believe all of us are leaders in some area. You've got to give up the fact that you're a leader and just make sure that you are a servant. Amen. You need to be a leader. God calls us to be leaders. But if you're a leader and you're not serving, I believe God is not pleased with us because he understands servant leadership. So sometimes we have to give up our titles, our reputation. We have to give up our cultural heritage to say, God, I'm serving you. I'm laying down everything that is not of you. And there's good stuff. I'm not saying all culture is bad. Every culture has a redemptive part of it. And so we have to redeem that. But the stuff that is not supposed to be redeemed and just done away with, must do away with that. Then it says, he came in the likeness of men. Part of being that servant. And then he said, and being found in appearance as a man. Once again, so there's not only the spiritual title or the status we have as believers. Because sometimes even in terms of our spiritual status as believers, we cannot get too proud that we are believers. I'm just interrupting myself and going back to the first one, the spiritual pride that comes in. Sometimes we're even proud the fact that we are Christians. And it's not like wrong, but sometimes we think, you know what, we believers, so we're better than the rest of the world. We're better than unbelievers. And you know, that's why unbelievers don't always want to come to the church. That's why the unsaved aren't always welcome here. Why? Because there is a judgmentalism about us. And there's a feeling of we're superior and we're better. And I love what Angus Buchan always says, you know, evangelism is just one hungry beggar telling another hungry beggar where to get food. As believers, we are still hungry beggars. We just know where the food is. But we're not better than anyone else. And so even as our status as believers, we must be like Jesus. And so we understand our identity. It's not like we're unsure. We know who we are in Christ. But you know what? When you know who you are in Christ, you realize that you're actually nothing. It's all about Christ. It's not about you and your gifts and your talents and your abilities. And so Jesus gave up his heavenly privilege. And sometimes we have to give up the so-called privileges that we think we have as believers. We've arrived. We're awesome. Everyone must just come to us. And we say, you know what? No, I'm going to go to the lost. I'm going to go and find the other beggars. Because I realize I'm saved by grace. And we give up our reputations. We give up our privileges. And we say, you know what? We're going to become a bondservant. And we're going to come in the likeness of men. We're going to identify with those who haven't got saved. Yeah. Identify with those who are lost and broken and hurting. We're going to identify with them. Come in their likeness. Sometimes we just have to put away all the fancy stuff the church has. And just come as a servant for the city. And then being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient. The whole thing of appearance again, the material pride that we have, how we look, how we appear to others. And Jesus was not, he didn't appear in any glory when he came to this earth. He appeared as a man. And Isaiah says he actually had a countenance that you didn't want to look upon. He looked like this poor, lowly, like, who are you? Not this amazing leader with all the jewelry and all the stuff, you know, like the bling that the guys wear. And he came as a man. Gave up his glory, appeared as a human being to come to serve human beings. Gave up all the material so-called glory that he had. And he did have a lot of glory. But he came to this fallen earth. So sometimes we've got to give up our material stuff and our pride. And our glory that many times is around us and come to serve people. And then lastly, he gave up all forms of success. It says he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. He gave up any form of success. You know why? His ministry looked incredibly unsuccessful. Here he comes to earth and he dies for the people, or he gets killed by the very people that he's come to serve. How's that for success? Or lack of it? In the natural eyes, this just looks so defeated. He looks like the most defeated leader that there ever was. So-called the Son of God. Didn't come for success. He came just to do the will of the Father. Amen. Came to die. Looked so defeated. So this morning, I'm trusting that God would exalt us. Amen. Because it said that Jesus was exalted by the Father. Jesus just came to do the will of the Father. And guess what? God exalted him. Didn't come for any success. Came to lay down everything. So I want the band to come forward this morning, and we're gonna do something prophetic this morning to just become like Christ and to say, Lord, this morning I realize that there's pride in my life. I realize that I want to be fit for the kingdom, Lord, but there's still so much of myself in my relationship with you. It's more about me often than about you. And so how do we let go of pride? First of all, we humble ourselves before God in prayer. We ask Him to reveal the pride that's in our hearts. That's the most important thing, is to really, if you know Jesus this morning, it's important to humble yourself before Jesus. If you don't know Jesus, then it's important to get to know Jesus, because ultimately He's going to judge you and not others. But it's important to have others. Then secondly, we need to acknowledge and repent of the pride when it comes up. When we see it in ourselves or see it coming up, and often we can't, okay? And so that's the unfortunate thing on your own. You cannot just walk on your own in the Lord. Got to have people around you. But it's important to acknowledge, first of all, or to humble yourself before God and say to Him, God, reveal to me. Show me, Lord. I cannot say that I'm standing. I cannot just say I'm standing here and I'm sorted. If I'm at that place, then I'm actually deceived, because then it's already taken over. Then I cannot even humble myself before God anymore, because I think I'm fine. So humble yourself, number one, then to acknowledge it and repent of it. But then, and this is really important and almost the most important thing, is to surround ourselves with people that can speak into our lives. Amen. To surround ourselves with people that can say, you know what, I can see there's an area here where I just need to work on this a bit. Not condemning you. And tell me as well. What is there in my life? So to be accountable one to another, because not one person can say, I'm just going to hold people accountable, but I'm never going to be accountable. That's very much pride. So to surround yourself with people who can speak into your life, and then to allow them to do that, and not to be offended and all defensive when they start to say, but there's a blind spot here. So I believe God wants us as a church to become like this. And how it happens is up to the Lord. But as long as people are speaking into your life, and we can do it through our small groups, we can do it through friendships and through relationships that we have, where we trust one another and we build this place where we're not, you know, this thing of presumption and this thing of all superficiality, where we're in the open, we're all fine. You know, in front of people, it looks all great. But what happens in the secret place? What happens in that place with you and God? Is there still pride there, or is there a mess? And so I want to challenge us as people. It's not about how you start this journey, like King Uzziah, because we can start so well and we can have success upon success upon success. It's about how we finish the journey. And what is God going to say at the end of your life? Or are you going to die a terrible death like Uzziah, full of leprosy? Why? Because you have become familiar with God. You have presumed stuff. And you know, presumption is terrible. Because presumption says, you know what, I think I'm knowing what God is saying. And you think you're hearing the voice of God, and you're not. And if we don't have accountability in our lives, if we don't have a living, close relationship with God, it's going to take us out, guys. A life of humility, a life where we lay down our spiritual pride, lay down our reputation, lay down all our materials. Not lay down the stuff, but lay down the love of the stuff. And lay down the reputation, the appearance, the looking like, to please people, instead of saying, God, my life is all about yours, all about you. Laying down our successes and saying, God, even though I'm successful, I want to see your glory on this earth. I want to be a faceless person. I want to be a faceless church where it's all about you. Let's close our eyes this morning. Father, I want to thank you, Lord, for being so gracious to us, Lord, for speaking a word that we are so needing, Lord, every day, Lord, and every month and every week of our lives. Lord, there's not a month or a week that can go by where we can say, Lord, we're fine, Lord, we're sorted. But this morning, God, we just realize, Lord, you are so great, Lord, and we are so small. But yet you've chosen us, Lord. And so we can have assurance. We can have boldness before you, God. But at the same time, we can also, Lord, just realize humility is so crucial, God. If our boldness before you, Lord, becomes more important than our humility, Lord, then we are at a dangerous place, God. And so, Lord, thank you that humility comes first, Lord, because pride is the sin that causes all other evil in our lives. Pride exalts us, Lord, above the place where we should be. Lord, only you exalt us, Lord. And you say that, Lord, you will exalt those who humble themselves and you will humble those who exalt themselves. God, and we don't want to be a church and a people that exalts themselves, God. We do not want to be that, Lord. And help us, God, where there's still areas in my life and in our lives as a congregation, Lord, help us to humble ourselves before you, God. Because we don't want you to do it, Lord. Because then we're in trouble, God, if you start to humble us. Lord, we thank you that you give us grace upon grace upon grace to humble ourselves. I want us all to stand this morning. And then I want you to, if you feel you want to do this, you don't have to do this. But I want you to go down on your knees this morning. If you feel God is calling you to just as a symbol, just say, Lord, I'm humbling myself afresh before you. As a symbolic act, as a prophetic act of my life, Lord. And I want to remember this act now. I'm going to remember, Lord, that when I go down on my knees now, this is not just a thing I'm doing to let people see and to look good. Lord, I'm doing this as a symbol that, Lord, my life in a secret place is going to be a place on my knees. Praying, worshiping, glorifying you, even at my greatest success. Where people are seeing me successful, but Lord, I know in a secret place, it's not about what people see. It's truly about you in my life. And so I want you this morning, if you feel God is calling you to do that as a symbolic act, then just go down on your knees this morning, and I'm going to do it this morning. And I want us as a church to truly say, God, this is my life, on my knees. Lord, I pray, God, that as we come from this place of standing, Lord, that we go down on our knees this morning and we say, God, this is the life we want to live, God. Not a life of being a worm or being insignificant or being insecure with who we are, but Lord, a life of where we're from a place of humility, God. We just worship you, Lord. And Lord, you will exalt us. You will give us success upon success. You will give us the success that Uzziah had, Lord. Because Lord, he was a man just like this, on his knees, surrounded by Zechariah, surrounded by people to speak into his life. But Lord, unfortunately, it didn't end like that. But thank you that we have the example of Christ Jesus. Thank you that, Lord, Uzziah was unfortunate, Lord, because he lived before Jesus came. And Lord, we don't live in the Old Testament anymore. We live in the New Dispensation, and we've got a perfect leader to look up to. We've got a perfect leader, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, that you are our perfect, humble, serving King, Lord. You are King, but yet you came to become a man like us, Lord. And this morning, as we're on our knees here, Lord, we identify with you this morning in Jesus' name. We identify with your humility. And Lord, we want to stay at this place, not physically on our knees, because some of us are going to be standing in front of crowds speaking. Some of us are going to be leaders in certain fields, Lord, and people are going to look up to us and want wisdom and knowledge from us. And Lord, that's your plan, God. You want to exalt us, Lord, to places of influence, Lord, places of leadership, Lord. But at the same time, we say, God, that is not going to define us. What's going to define us this morning is this place on our knees, Lord, before a King who's worthy of our worship, Lord, before a King who's so awesome, who's so exalted. Hallelujah. Let's just, if you guys can lead us in a song of worship, Benny. I want you, as the band is singing this song, I want you to just truly say to God, speak to God now and say to God, God, I desire to serve like you. Help me, Lord. Help me. I want to be a servant leader. I want to be an influencer, Lord, but I want to be humble all the time, God. And only you can define my humility. People cannot, Lord. People can even say I'm proud, but Lord, I know I'm humble before you. And this morning, I want to say to you, you will know if there's pride in your life. Don't let people define you either, even though it's good to have accountability, but you're going to know in your heart. Don't try to please people, but you're going to know in your heart. And let God define you this morning. Let God define the humility or the pride in your life. And let him use people. Be open to people, but don't try to please people on the outside, because only you know the secret place of your heart, and only God knows. Maybe you don't, but God knows, and God wants to show you the secret place of your heart this morning. Let's just worship him together. Let's just bow down and just worship. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Lord, I just thank you this morning that You want to give us authority, Lord. You want to give us influence, and you want to truly give us the mandate to reach people, Lord. Even in the spirit as we pray, Lord, I thank you that as we're on our knees interceding for the lost and the broken, the people of Bloemfontein and the Free State, Lord, we thank you that you give us the authority, Lord. And you give us places of influence in the city as well. You exalt us in due time, Lord. But thank you that we are not going to try to exalt ourselves or try to push an agenda or try to become who we're not. Thank you that we are your servants here this morning. And thank you for opportunities to serve the city, Lord. Pray for that in this next while, God, that we'll have opportunities to stand before influential people, Lord, and tell them the good news of the perfect King, the humble King that came to serve. And that, Lord, that the pride even in the city, Lord, will fall and bow to the name of Jesus before it's too late, Lord. We thank you for many people, Lord, poor and rich, God. Black and white, Lord, every culture, every tribe and tongue and nation represented in this city, Lord. God, that we all need your grace, Lord. We all stand guilty before you, but thank you for the grace on the cross this morning. Thank you that we realize we are nothing, God, without you. But thank you that we can be like Paul, God, who had such a thick CV, but said he counted all things lost for the knowledge Christ Jesus is Lord. And we want to say, Lord, we want to count all things lost, Lord. Every bit of achievement, every success, all the reputation, Lord, everything in us, even the spiritual giftings and anointing on our lives, we want to say, Lord, we count that as loss for the knowledge and the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus. And I also thank you, Lord, that your word says that blessed are the poor in spirit, for they shall see God. And we come poor in spirit this morning. We realize we have nothing, Lord, without you. But thank you that we're going to see you in this next while, God. I pray that we'll become like you, Lord. That we'll be fit for your kingdom, God. That we won't look back, Lord. But once we've put our hands to the plow, Lord, we'll not be like Uzziah, Lord, and fall away. But we'll finish stronger than ever before, God. And I proclaim it over each life here this morning. I thank you for people of influence in this place this morning, God. They don't even know it yet, Lord, but they're going to be influencers, Lord. But thank you that they will remember this time and this morning, Lord, that place on their knees, Lord. That all of us would be found on our knees at the coming of Jesus Christ. But thank you that we're going to help other people to come to their knees as well and to bow to Jesus, Lord. But Lord, we cannot tell people to bow down if we're not bowed down, Lord. Who are we to tell other people to worship Jesus, Lord, when we're singing about ourselves, when we're testifying about ourselves, Lord? But this morning, God, we help us to change that, to testify and to sing about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That a sound of worship and of praise would come forth from this place, Lord. And from every heart here this morning, Lord. Let a sound of worship come. Where we say, it's all about you, Jesus. And the I, me, and myself are not involved anymore. But it's about this great King that we serve. Because, Lord, your word says, one day every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And we thank you this morning that we can say, Jesus, you are Lord. Jesus, you are Lord. Jesus, you are Lord. In Jesus' name. God bless you guys for coming this morning. Thank you so much. God is good. Amen. Just turn to someone next to you with a smile on your face and say, God is good. He loves us so much and he causes us to humble ourselves. Amen. Isn't that amazing? He doesn't want to humble us. He says, you humble yourself. And then let's keep doing that, guys. Be blessed. Have some coffee. Give someone else a hug and a handshake this morning and say, it's so good to see you here. Amen. Connect with some other people and see you again tonight. Amen.